Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessed opportunity to gather in your house and to study your word. Be with us now as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word creation, we'll pick it up in Psalm 19. Here we'll do Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6. When speaking of creation, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." Creation, where it says the heavens declare the glory of God. All of creation screams the existence of God, as it says over in Romans chapter 1. Even the Godhead declaring Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. There are more astrophysicists that are born-again Christians than any of the other fields of science. Because when you do an in-depth study of astrophysicists, such as the whole cosmos, it proclaims the existence of God so profoundly that it leads people to the Lord. And that's exactly what it's saying here. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. All around we see the handiwork of God. Psalm 33 and verse 6 reads, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." Proclaiming what it says in Genesis, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And you see all the way down through there in verse 3. And God said, in verse 6, and God said, and over and over in verse 9, and God said, so over and over, by his word, by his speaking, he spoke everything into existence. And we know that Jesus Christ is the Word, as it tells us in the Gospel of John in chapter 1. So Jesus Christ, the Word, is who is doing the speaking in Genesis chapter 1 and is who he's speaking of here. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. The Word is Jesus Christ. So by his word, by him speaking, he spoke everything into existence. Proclaiming it here again in Psalm 33. All right, now turn over to Psalm 90. We're only touching really on some of the verses that would pertain to creation, because we could spend quite a few days on this. But we're getting kind of a general overview throughout the Word of God and references to creation. He spoke everything into existence, and his Word is Jesus Christ is the Word, and what we have been given is the written version of his Word, so that we know the record and that you can trust the eyewitness, which is Jesus Christ. He was there. And in Psalm 90, which is two verses here, Psalm 90, verse 1, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." Noting here that he has created everything and that he is also everlasting. Before everything that we know of even existed, God was. God has always been and will always be. And it says there, before the mountains were formed, and before the world itself was created, God existed. And that is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all three parts in one God. All right, now flip on over to Psalm 104. In Psalm 104, it reads, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys, unto the place which thou hast founded for them." Isn't it awesome there where he's talking about how much control he has over his creation? He wants to bring the water over the whole mountains? He does, because he did. He flooded the entire planet in Genesis chapter 6 through 9. As he continues, "Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth." Won't cover the earth again. He made a covenant. He told us that he would never flood the entire planet with water again. That's why we have the rainbow, a reminder of what he did and the reminder of the promise that he won't do that again. Verse 10, "He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst." Isn't it awesome how he has the establishment of the water system? That he has these springs popping up various places, filtered clean water so that the animals and so that we can have a fresh source of water. "By them shall the fowls of the heavens have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, the wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and the oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nest as for the stork, the fir trees as her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down." The moon for seasons. Just like it says over on day 4 of creation in chapter 1 of Genesis. That the sun and the moon were placed and the stars in the skies for seasons. We can determine the seasons. Determine the calendar. Determine the changing of the seasons by looking at the time clock pieces that he has established and put in play for us to utilize. If you're going to go by a solar calendar or you're going to go by the lunar calendar and the seasons. Verse 20, "Thou makest darkness and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gathereth themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein." Note another reference to Leviathan. We saw the detailed reference to Leviathan over in Job, but here in Psalms, written many centuries later, another reference to Leviathan. So we know by the time that this was written that Leviathan was still around. These wait all upon thee that thou mayest give them their meat in due season, that thou givest them they gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. Everything in existence that has what we would consider life has it because of Jesus Christ. He gives things life. If it was not for him, all life would cease. All creation would go into non-existence. All the life forces that are in all the creatures, microscopic on up to the great creatures of the ocean or great creatures on the land, are all breathing and functioning and alive, what we would consider alive, by the power of Jesus Christ. That's what makes the difference on whether something is alive or whether something is dead. The power of Jesus Christ within that creature, within that animal, within mankind itself. And when he removes it, that is no longer alive. That creature or person is dead. The life is out of it, as he says there. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust, where they came from. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. When all the animals and the creatures that are being born by the control and the authority of Jesus Christ. He is in control of all of it. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. An awesome psalm there, proclaiming the authority, proclaiming the creative power, proclaiming that by the power of God, everything is in existence. Right now, turn on over to Psalm 139, verse 13 through 16. In Psalm 139, verse 13 reads, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Speaking now of what people would call a fetus, a parasite by some, a growth, just a cluster of cells. But yet we know that at conception, it is a human being. As he says here, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in countenance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." Talking about the whole process of the development of a baby in the mother. Unperfect means unfinished. Because you see the illustrations of the fertilization of the egg, the cells, and they split at first. That first splitting of that egg, cells into two cells and starting to multiply, it doesn't look like a human yet. It's a way of speaking, unperfect. right at that moment, fertilization, that's a person, and it starts to develop. God is right there. Jesus is right there. As it says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written. By his design, everything starts to work and develop and grow, become a full person. Not a fetus. It's a person. It's a baby. When someone's pregnant, they are with child, as it says in the Word of God, not with fetus. They started calling it a fetus to make it something that would be more acceptable to kill and to abort. In Psalm 148, we see here, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his host. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He commanded and they were created. By his word, everything spoke into existence. Verse 6. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. I like also where he mentions dragons there again. Dragons there would be interpreted as being the great dinosaur creatures. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, and the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Acknowledging his creations, acknowledging he commanded and it was created. Right now, over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19 reads, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. It's by his wisdom, by his understanding, his knowledge, everything is created, spoke into existence. By an intelligent designer, you might say. There was a movement a few years ago about being an intelligent designer, that the world is obviously created by an intelligent designer. And that is Jesus Christ. The intelligence to be able to put things together, to be in the working order that it is, has to be intelligently designed. These idiots that promote and believe the Big Bang Theory have no foundation to stand on. It makes no sense whatsoever. It's ridiculous. You can't go out here and blow up a warehouse full of building materials and expect the rubble to create a three-bedroom house. Won't happen. You blow up a facility, it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a shambles. It's not going to create something. The Big Bang Theory is just as stupid as that. You can't go out here and explode something. You expect something of perfect design that it has to come out of that chaos. It's insanity. Now, if you will, turn on over to Jeremiah chapter 10. Let's look at a few verses here, 10 through 13. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Acknowledging there in Jeremiah that Jesus Christ, that God is in control of his creation all the time. He's spoken into existence, he controls it at his will. These crazy people out here, these earth worshipers that believe in global warming and climate control and climate change and all that other insanity, do not understand the power of God. They do not understand the power of Jesus Christ. He's spoken into existence. He controls it. He regulates it. He controls the weather, not man. No matter how much pollution we want to spew out, we're not going to change the weather. The Lord is in control of the weather, not us. It's their arrogance that they think they have such power, or such control, but they do not have such power and control. All right, let's go over to Jeremiah chapter 32 in verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Jeremiah 51 verses 15 and 16. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his understanding. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightning and lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Once again, Jeremiah repeating that. In Isaiah chapter 65, let's look at verse 17 here. It reads, For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered nor come into mind. That's the future creation that we have to look forward to. We'll get further into this as our studies go on into the New Testament, but here's the reference to that. That this earth that he now controls and holds into existence by his word, he will remove. He will destroy completely and create a brand new heaven and a brand new earth that we'll read about here and read about in Peter and also in Revelation as we continue this study. But we got to know and understand that Jesus Christ spoke everything into existence. He controls everything by his word, and that it will stay in existence by his word, and that there will be the seasons just like he has established, and it will not change until he decides to change it. In Genesis chapter 8, in verse 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. No matter what man does, no matter how bad he pollutes things and makes it uncomfortable and unhealthy for us to live, he is not going to change the seasons. Jesus Christ is in control of the seasons, not man. Man has come up with all these bizarre abstract ways to scare tactics, to get people to pay money, to get people to pay taxes, to get people to be under their power, their control, under their authority, and that's all it's all about. Follow it all the way back to the money. And that's the whole movement of the earth worshipers in politics. It's all about the money. It's all about control. It's all about power. They don't really care about the planet. If they care bad enough about the planet, then do something about it. Give their lives over to Jesus Christ. Pray for the planet, because that's what counts. This planet's going to be destroyed completely, vaporized by Jesus Christ, and a brand new one for all those that have trusted in him. So that's what we got to learn from all this. He's spoken into existence. He's going to speak it right out of existence. So let's be a part of his family so we can look forward to the brand new one he has in store for us. That's all the time we have. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It's so powerful. It gives us all the details that we need to know to stand so firmly upon and to trust in you completely and totally as the one who spoke us all into existence and keeps us in existence by your word and has promised us so much that we have to look forward to. Please encourage us to go out and share that with others so they can look forward to it as well. And help us overcome all the false teaching that is out there, all the madness and insanity that is out there being promoted and being indoctrinated into our children. Help us shield them from that. We thank you so much for the opportunity to be a part of your work. So we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.